Concordia Publishing House's annual warehouse sale is both online and in-store. Take advantage of discounted prices on many of the items you hear promoted on Issues Etc. November 4th through 10th, and join us for a live broadcast from CPH on Thursday afternoon, November the 5th. Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale online and in-store, cph.org, and 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale, November 4th through 10th.
So look, as long as people are going to present Pope Francis as what? As Hans Kung in a white cassock, you know, you're going to get distortions.
The scripture is not a book about me. It's not an instruction book for my life. Who likes to read an instruction manual? You just throw it away.
My wife came to me and said, you know, I've got a terrible disease. I want suicide. I would say, absolutely not. You cannot take away from me, A, your presence, and B, my loving privilege to care for you for as long as you live.
The church looks like this grotesque old lady with hair grown out of her face, and we want her to be this gorgeous porn star. There is no way to turn grandma into a porn star, and we shouldn't want to.
In an hour, we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week, just a taste of the four soundbites we have lined up to play for you. Then you'll listen, you'll vote, and one of our listeners who votes for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week will get the LPR bundle package. And I have Issues t-shirt and Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, mouse pad, and notepad when we play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in 1 hour. There are a lot of figures in the Reformation. It wasn't just Martin Luther. In fact, it was hardly just Martin Luther. He may have been the impetus. He may have been kind of the heart and soul of the Reformation for a time. But, you know, no one lives forever. And the Reformation actually continued, in some ways was completed, at least in a documentary sense, after Luther's death. And it fell, in many ways, to a second Martin, to Martin Chemnitz, to do that job. How important was he to the continuation of the Reformation after Martin Luther? We're going to be talking about the 16th century Lutheran theologian Martin Chemnitz. He's remembered by the church on November the 9th. We'll do so today. Dr. George Williams is our guest, pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Ainsworth, Nebraska, adjunct professor at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and editor and translator of Martin Chemnitz's The Lord's Prayer. Dr. Williams, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. What a wonderful day and a wonderful gentleman to remember.
How important was Martin Chemnitz to, at the very least, the continuation of, if not at least in the documentary sense, the conclusion of the Reformation?
Well, Dr. Luther was such a dynamic individual and had so much energy that his own personality held the Lutheran Church not only in check, but cohesively. But suddenly he was not there. And into that arena, many, many people tried to take over the direction and leadership of the Lutheran Church bodies. And in that, there was much discord that was happening because no one seemed to have the ability to pull everything back together. And all of a sudden, a young student of Melanchthon's, by the name of Martin Chemnitz, who actually had heard Luther preach several times, stepped into that arena and with such a detailed analytical mind and a desire for the love of people and of the church that he pulled everything together and began to cohese everything back together. And finally, later in the middle of his life, we had the formula of Concord, which pulled the Lutherans back together in the last article in our Confessions books for Lutherans.
So tell us a little bit about Chemnitz himself. Was he a son of the Reformation in the sense, was he kind of second generation born into it, or does he have a history before Reformation proper?
Well, he really doesn't. Martin Chemnitz had one of the interesting things, not in kindred with Luther, but with Luther's wife. I know you've heard the story about Katie coming in fish barrels. Well, Martin Chemnitz's father was a fish merchant. Paul was his name. And all of a sudden, he had his family, and they were doing well, and he married into some quasi-aristocracy in Germany. And at 11 years old, Martin had to bury his father. And all of a sudden, money got tight, and he was a good Latin student in school, and one of his uncles had marveled at how much Latin Martin Chemnitz was learning, and that was the scholarly and legal and medical language of the day. And so he helped him go continuing his studies, and all of a sudden his Latin got him some notoriety, and he went back to school and actually studied under Melanchthon a little bit in Wittenberg. And then in order to pay the bills, had to go be a librarian. And so he was not a Marian, the librarian. He was a Martin, the librarian. And that is probably the turning point of what turned him into this giant that pulled together the Lutheran bodies under the unity that came about between 1575 and 1580.
How is it that that vocation as librarian prepared him to do that?
Well, he was working in the Ducal Library, and it was a very, very good library. And Martin there discovered not only what was being rebirthed in the Renaissance at that time, but he began to say, there's a way to study. And his way of study is something that was basically taught me when I went to seminary. And the first rule is you read the Scripture. You read the Bible, in all the translations and all the editions you could find, and he had a bunch of them in his library, and so he read the Bible from cover to cover in every translation, and then after he finished the Bible and exhausted that, he read the Church Fathers, Augustine and Tertullian and Cyprian, and both Eastern and Western Church Fathers he digested. And he would write down little note cards in a catena, and he would keep track of all these things. He had a marvelous academic ability to gather lots of facts and to catalog them and remember them. After he'd done the Fathers, then he would read Luther. And only after he had read Luther would he pick up the commentaries of his contemporaries. So today, that pattern is something our seminary students learn too. We exegete the Holy Bible because it's the truth in all of its original languages, and we move to the Church Fathers because we are part of a Church Catholic tradition, and then we move into Luther, who guided us back into the reformational principles, and then finally to our contemporaries. And that shaped his whole work for the rest of his life.
So he brought scholarly, genuine, not just intellect, not just knowledge, but a kind of scholarly discipline into the Reformation.
And then he began to impart that to the younger pastors that were placed under his charge. Very quickly, Martin, the second Martin, was elevated to a role of what today we would call a district president or a bishop. He was a superintendent over about 250 churches and pastors. And one of the things he was very much concerned about was that the church prayed together. So one of the first works he actually worked on was what was called a church order booklet, which contained the prayers for the days and the liturgies of the divine service and matins and the chant tones that we used with them. He wanted the churches in his area to all look the same. They wore the same kind of clothes. They sang the same kind of hymns. They prayed the same kind of prayers. And that very much pastoral, ecclesial unity was the place he started with, was that he wanted the church to pray together and pray often and pray in the same way. And that's the place he started. And then all of a sudden, he found out that his clergymen were not as well educated as they ought to be in this biblical knowledge. And so he wrote a catechism. And it's one of those little works that is a marvelous thing. Each year, his pastors had to study his catechism. It's called the Incridian. And it's available in print today. A pastor by the name of Luther Pellet put that out now almost 50 years ago. A marvelous little work. But the main thing Chemnitz is remembered for is this monumental treatise on the Council of Trent. Rome was meeting from 1545 until the mid-1560s, and the Council of Trent was this monumental work of trying to refute Luther and bring the Church Catholic back together, and Chemnitz responded to that. He took quite a few years to write the Examen, which is in English today, the examination of the Council of Trent. I had the privilege of one of my professors in seminary, Dr. Fred Kramer, was finishing the translation of the first of the volumes of that many, many years ago. And that's where I fell in love with Chemnitz, because in such an orderly fashion, with not only the history of the church doctrines, but Luther and his contemporaries all pulled into one place, he could talk about the marvels of our Christian faith. Four volumes. It's available today in English, thanks to Dr. Kramer. And that work is so monumental of holding the Lutheran Church together. Todd, one of the things that I always tell my friends and my co-pastors is that Martin Chemnitz wrote that between 1566 and 1570. In the 16th century, it was reprinted 11 times. In the 17th century, it was reprinted 8 times. In the 18th century, all of a sudden, we had some things come along in theological circles which didn't want to go back and look at old stuff. They wanted everything to be new and novel. And so 1707 was the printing in the 18th century of the Examen. But up until that time, every decade for the 150 years before that had studied this theological textbook called the Examination. Some bad theological things happened in the 18th century, and all of a sudden, the Civil War happened in America, and to that time, things were happening on the continent. The papal rules were being promulgated, and the historic monarchies of Europe were falling apart, and all of the ideas were falling apart, and in our Lutheran circles, there began to be a major confessional revival of historic documents. And the Examen, the textbook of dogma for our Lutheran Church, was reprinted again in 1861 and three times before that century ended. And now, during the 20th century, we have it available in four different printings in the 20th century. So if I summarize all of those, it would seem to me that with the exception of about 100 years, every Lutheran pastor has studied the theology concretized in Martin Chemnitz's Examination of the Council of Trent. And that was the second point. Luther wanted the church to pray together, but he wanted their pastors to preach together, because for him, the central teaching of the Holy Gospel from the Scriptures was everything and the only thing a Lutheran pastor should preach about. And so they all, through all of those 30-something printings over 400 years, studied Martin Chemnitz. So without Martin Chemnitz, the first Martin probably would not have lasted.
Dr. George Williams is our guest. We're remembering on this day, 16th century Lutheran theologian, scholar, Martin Chemnitz. When we come back, we'll talk about his part in the last document in the Lutheran Confessions, the Formula of Concord. On this Friday afternoon, November the 7th, the church is remembering Martin Chemnitz on the 9th of this month. Stay tuned. Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, etc.
The Lord has gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. These gifts can be received every week at both Grace Lutheran Church and Trinity Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas. Join us for divine services at Grace on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m., as well as every Wednesday at 11 a.m., or at Trinity every Sunday at 11 a.m. Grace is located at 3310 East Pawnee and Trinity at 611 South Erie. Gather with us around our Lord and His giving His gifts to us. See you soon.
O Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana at issuesetc.org. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific. issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Friday afternoon, we're remembering 16th century Lutheran theologian Martin Chemnitz. Dr. George Williams is our guest. He's editor and translator of Martin Chemnitz's work, The Lord's Prayer. Dr. Williams, let's talk a bit about his hand in, he's not the sole author, but he is a major contributor to the document, The Formula of Concord, kind of comes in two parts, the short version and the long version. What occasioned Martin Chemnitz, along with others, crafting this document in the Lutheran Confessions?
What was amazing about this, Todd, is that Martin Chemnitz had been just a superintendent and a parish pastor. He had never been a professor of a theological institution. In fact, he was 46 years old before he ever got his Ph.D. degree and earned Ph.D. degree. But he had always wanted the church in his area in Braunschweig, Wolfenbüttel, to be united both in what do they prayed and what they sang, but also in their doctrine. And so he was a very prolific writer, not anything like Luther, but there are 67 titles that Martin Chemnitz has written, most of them still locked in Latin and German, but many of them still available. And as Luther confronted the problems of the parish, the concepts of Christ and his natures, and of the Holy Supper of our Lord, and how we pull together the four Gospels. Those are major works that Chemnitz did. And so he was well prepared to, beginning in that time period when there was so much discord, to clearly and logically bring together the arguments in many of the conferences that were held to try to unify people. On Andreae was one of his co-workers, and Andreae had penned 6 sermons and a few other documents that were pulled together in what was eventually would turn out to be the epitome of the Formula of Concord, or the smaller part. But Chemnitz, along with some of his contemporaries, Catreus and Selnecker, are the two main ones, but there's Musculus and a couple of other ones. They all worked together in these conferences. They prayed together, they sang together, they studied the scripture in its translations and what the fathers had said, and through just timeless effort, those gentlemen would pull Lutheran preachers and congregations around the Word of God understood in a Lutheran view and bring them together so that by 1577, the Formula of Concord was penned and talked about. And by the year 1580, hundreds of pastors, thousands of people would sign that document as the Confession of Our Faith, unifying them under one doctrine as well as one practice. It was such a powerful document that it was translated into many languages. In fact, one of the companion documents that went with that, I'm always amazed, is that as early as 1582, Martin Chemnitz's examination of the Council of Trent had been translated into English. And by 1587, his Lord's Prayer Book had been translated into English. That was amazing that this little German scholar, the son of a fish merchant who was of a time period where he locked himself in the library to learn stuff, was able to pull together in this beautiful document called the Formula of Concord the concise teachings of our Lutheran Church with such grandeur that he united much of Lutheranism under the Book of Concord in 1580. Marvelous gentleman.
What was so important to him, both as you mentioned, essentially kind of the, you said district president, the ecclesiastical supervisor is the term we like to toss around nowadays. What was his concern there that you've mentioned several times, not only of having one doctrine, but of one practice, insofar as it could be pulled off, one practice among the various churches?
Martin Chemnitz was one of those beautiful pastors who always knew that God had given gifts to men. He knew that we by nature don't necessarily want to have someone tell us what to do, but we always need to have fathers. We need to have a governmental father and a spiritual father and a familial father. Luther was the one who rebirthed that concept, but Chemnitz was the one who took it to a great extent of saying, every little lamb of God in their respective parish has an under-shepherd. They have a spiritual father. And it's important for that spiritual father to guide them not only into the truth, but into the familial traditions. So it was very important for Martin Chemnitz to have pastors understand that this is their family. They're the father of this church family, and they are to teach them to pray, to catechize them, to bring that unity about. I believe that Chemnitz himself taught many years the pastors in his superintendency, and he always began with the catechism, and the first part of that catechism reminds the church and reminds the pastor that God gives pastors to his church to serve them, to serve the little lambs of God. And I believe that is one of the glues that Chemnitz was able to help unify our Lutheran church. He was not necessarily a gentleman, but he, like Luther, didn't get married until later in life, and although he did raise kids, he left his wife for many years, like Martin Luther left Katie alone with children. But Martin Chemnitz was very much conscious about the fact that the relationship between pastor and people as a praying, teaching, learning body was very important. And so if I had to say what's the most important thing for Martin Chemnitz is that young pastors realize they are God's gift to his bride, the church, and that as such, young pastors have a responsibility not only to the truth, but to the love and the care of those who have been placed in their charge. So take heed unto the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer.
Dr. George Williams is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Ainsworth, Nebraska, adjunct professor at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and editor and translator of Martin Chemnitz's The Lord's Prayer. Dr. Williams, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you very much, sir.
You know, the effort, that concern about doctrine and practice continues even today. Luther Academy is an organization that actually provides continuing education for both confessional Lutheran pastors and confessional Lutheran lay people. They've been doing it for more than 20 years. You can find out about all that they do as a resource for continuing education in Scripture, in the Church's historic teaching, and in the Lutheran Confessions at lutheracademy.com. All one word, lutheracademy.com. You can also sign up to receive their free email newsletter, lutheracademy.com. When we come back, it's Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. Chris Roseborough will join us to bring us up to date on This Week in Pop American Christianity. Then we'll play Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.